Tonight in studio, we have Ann and Bethany. They've been married for 10 years. Ann is a Red Cross disaster responder, and Bethany works for Sonoma County Human Services. Welcome, Ann and Bethany.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here.
This is going to be a really interesting evening talking with them both about their line of work and their relationship. Now, you've been married since 2007, but together for 10 years? 2008. Yeah, hello, when marriage was legalized. Okay, so married for 7 years and together for 10 years, something like that. Okay, so probably anybody else could do the math or whatever. But
I was told there'd be no math.
No math. Okay, well, it's going to be really, really interesting getting to know you and having you share your story with us. And we're very looking forward to that very much. But before we do that, we are going to have news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, March 1st, 2015. The results of a recent French study on the drug Truvada as a pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, as it's most commonly referred to, were made public this week and have proved what many experts have long believed about the much-debated treatment. Taken correctly, PrEP is an effective fight to prevent HIV, and it may continue to protect users even when taken at levels different from what is currently prescribed. Researchers announced that the shortened dosage reduced the risk of HIV in gay and bi men by an average of 86%, but they don't think that means it's an on-demand drug or a before and after pill, as was previously reported in the media last year. Jennifer Horvath, deputy director of the news media at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said, "We don't want people to potentially put their lives at risk from taking the wrong kind of PrEP regimen." Horvath stressed that PrEP should not be confused with post-exposure prophylaxis, or PEP, which is a type of medication that must be taken within 72 hours and for 28 days after someone has been potentially exposed to HIV. According to a statement by the CDC during the French study, over 400 enrolled participants took a dose of two pills between 2 and 24 hours before they were planning on having sex, and another two pills 24 to 48 hours after the last pre-sex dose. The type of occasional medication schedule was used per each sexual encounter to test the effectiveness of an infrequent PrEP regimen. Dr. Jonathan Merman, director of the CDC's National Center for HIV/AIDS Prevention, said this study provides the first evidence that an event-driven regimen is effective among high-risk men who have frequent sex with other men. And we'll have much more on this story on the March edition of Outbeat News in depth. And in another report published this week by 8 public policy and transgender organizations, including the Transgender Law Center, the Center for American Progress, and the Movement Advancement Project, said that the estimated 700,000 transgender people living in the United States, quote, face extreme discrimination in virtually all areas of life, when looking for housing, when trying to find decent and affordable health care and health insurance, opening lines of credit, and obtaining accurate identity documents. Jacqueline Nugent, a counselor for Positive Images, a nonprofit LGBT youth support and trans organization here in Santa Rosa, said transgender people in Sonoma County face the same issues. Nugent runs 3 transgender counseling groups for Positive Images, one for parents of transgender people, one for male-to-female transgender people, and one for transgender youth and people questioning their gender. She said she's seen an increase in the number of people seeking support and advice in her groups, which she has run in Sonoma County for 5 years. From her perspective, more people are seeking services because of new cultural acceptance. Transgender people are increasingly visible in public and are being represented in the news and on television. Nugent, who is 65 years old and a transgender woman, said, "I've seen a huge uptick. Trans people are out in culture now, being normalized, much more than when I was growing up." Documenting challenges among transgender people beyond anecdotally can be difficult because few states or national surveys include questions about their gender identity. However, advocates said people are asking for gender-appropriate space to respond on questionnaires. Nugent said the issue has come up in her support groups, in addition to other health and safety concerns. 5 years ago, just 2 or 3 people would attend weekly peer counseling meetings. Today, the same group has between 15 and 20 people showing up on a regular basis. Now, here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, March 2nd, and every Monday at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBT support group at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And on Tuesday, March 3rd at 10 a.m., the Napa Older LGBT Adults Discussion Group will gather at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And on Tuesday, March 4th at 6 p.m., the Trans Group will host its Open Friends and Family Meeting at Positive Images, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. This is for transgender adults and youth 12 and up, as well as their supporters. And finally, on Wednesday, March 4th at noon, the Petaluma General LGBT Support Group will happen at Casa Grande High School in Petaluma. This is for young people 12 to 18 years of age. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Sheridan and Diana on Living Proof, and we are in studio with Anne and Bethany. Hello, Anne and Bethany.
Hello.
We're so happy that you joined us. I must tell everyone who's listening that the way I met Anne, I did not meet Bethany, was my sister was looking for a place to rent. And my sister asked me if I'd like to go see this place that she, you know, was thinking of renting. And I met Anne and I went, oh my gosh, she's a lesbian. I can't believe it. And then Anne and I started talking and forget my sister, right? And then found out that Anne played basketball and Diana played basketball. So we're all going to get together and play basketball together. And then we met Bethany and just like fell in love with them and asked them to be on our show. And that's kind of how we met.
That's right.
It was pretty cool.
Still need to play basketball, though.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. So, again, we're very pleased and happy to have you both here because we really love inviting the community in so that we can, you know, be alive, let people know that we are living people in Sonoma County, you know, and we have a lot to say. So you're going to have a lot of opportunities to share yourselves with us. So let's start with just let's talk about your work in the world. You know, what are you both are doing and what do you want to share about that?
So should we start with Anne?
Sure. Yeah. So my actual practical work every day is I work for the American Red Cross. And I work in, I'm an emergency manager by trade, but I'm a disaster responder. So I support the Red Cross chapters in the state of California and throughout the Pacific. Building strong disaster programs, but respond to large disasters, both domestically and internationally. So I've been working for the Red Cross since just before 9/11. I started volunteering and fell in love with the work. And when 9/11 occurred, I was working another job. I was a volunteer at the time, and 9/11 hit really close to home for me. I'm retired from the Army. And I had a number of friends who were impacted, lost a friend in the Pentagon. My brother had a friend that was on one of the aircraft headed to Los Angeles. And I'm originally from northern New Jersey. So I had lots of family working in New York and friends that were impacted. And so I really wanted to go. And I had this pesky job that prevented me from participating. So a couple of months later, a job came open with the American Red Cross in the Bay Area in San Francisco, and I started working there and been in love with it ever since. So it's an incredible way to give back. You know, people, when disasters happen, people want to go. Everyone wants to go in that moment. And it's really incredible to be able to be in a leadership role and be able to really impact and be there for people when events occur. So it's a way to open your heart and to be present. And for a type A personality that really likes to do stuff, I work really well in that environment. So, it's a perfect fit for me. So I've been very, very, very happy there for a very long time.
Mm. How long?
13 years total, my volunteer and paid career with the Red Cross. Mm. Yeah.
So when you said you fell in love with it, you, maybe you just explained it. I don't know. But what, in the beginning, when you fell in love with it, what was it that
you know, loved? I it was funny because having been in the Army, I joined the Army when I was 17. And so I had a, you know, long career at the Army and also worked as a government contractor. And at one point, my oldest brother said to me, when are you going to get a real job? Not, you know, not work in the military. And I thought, oh, that real job that paid for school and, you know, took care of me, you know, that job. Mm-hmm. I started to really think about it though. What would I do? What's the thing that would make me most happy and kind of fit with who I am? And I thought I really, excel at bringing order from chaos. I work really, really well in mm-hmm. kind of that environment. So when I found a place that I could give of my heart and my time, feel like I was really, and know that I was contributing to this world, helping people in their greatest hour of need, and at the same time feeding my need to move to action, it was a perfect fit for me.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Beautiful. Bethany, what about you?
Well, firstly, I'd like to say how much admiration I have for Anne and her work and dedication. I think there's a lot to be learned from her. And so my career path has always intertwined social justice and environmental sustainability. And I currently have the privilege to work for Sonoma County Department of Human Services. I just recently transitioned into a role of community engagement manager, and I'm working with an initiative that is trying to eliminate poverty in Sonoma County. And this is being addressed through access to quality education and healthcare, and really aiming to create safe neighborhoods for everybody. And it's a really, I feel very fortunate to be working with such a group, a dedicated group of individuals with similar values. And Sonoma County is very progressive in the way that they approach health and really trying to address the disparities that exist in our community. And so it's a great honor to be a part of that team and to be able to really give voice to the community and create opportunities for the community to build their capacity in order to be civically engaged. And that's currently what I am doing.
So is this a new program that you started up? You're part of the startup, or it's been functioning?
That's a great question. My role is new, and so I'm the first person in this particular role, but it's not a new program. There's several different initiatives. One of them that I was just describing is called Upstream Investments. And there's another one with the Department of Health Services called Health Action. Mm-hmm. And these are collective impact initiatives, which really means that all of the community, whether they be businesses or families, parents, foundations, community-based organizations are coming together to align their visions, their goals, their resources, in order to create an impact in actually creating change in our community. And so there's various different projects that I'm working on to help move that forward.
So I have a question. It's just that I come from education background, so I understand the classroom. I understand disaster response person, you know, the tornado hits, you go and you help. But I really can't figure out what you do, Bethany. And I'm wondering, could you give me, you know, in two or three short sentences or maybe one paragraph, just like, what's something you do in your day? Like, you get to work and then what? Give me a tangible something that I can hold on to.
That's a great question. Well, I love my job because I get to do a lot of different projects. One tangible is I am afforded the opportunity to be the convener for a collective that is just beginning called Aging Together. And it's really looking at creating healthy lifestyles for cross-generational relationships and looking at our growing aging population in Sonoma County. So when I get to work on an average day, there is no average day, to be perfectly honest. It's really about taking on the projects that need to be done at the time. I've worked on helping develop community schools model. I've worked on asset mapping for different communities. I've worked on coordinating resources to get out to remote areas in our county. Does that help?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you kind of just like a police officer in a bunch of traffic, and you're just saying, go this way, go this way, do this, do that.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I like to see myself as a bridge for the community in order to really get access to the resources that they need that government can help support them with and bring awareness to those resources.
Mm-hmm. Would both of you give a website where people can find out more information about your organizations, maybe? And then we can do it again at the end of the show if you want. Bethany, do you have a website that people... if they have need, maybe they would like to know how to...
Sure. There's two. One is upstreaminvestments.org and also Health Action. And both are strong initiatives here in Sonoma County.
Okay. Thank you. And what about you, Anne? It's
redcross.org. 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 And, you know, it's really interesting because you wouldn't necessarily... on the surface see the connection between Bethany's work and my work, but you know, Bethany is focused on building resiliency in a community, and the number one way that people respond or thrive after a disaster is based on their level of resiliency, right? Mm-hmm. So it's always the most under-resourced, most vulnerable populations that suffer the most because they don't have the resources, they don't have the personal connections to, and they don't have the same level of resources to connect to. When I give my shameless redcross.org plug, I encourage everybody to please go and check out the site and figure out how to make yourself resilient. Create a disaster plan. Know your neighbors. Know what you would do in a response. And get connected to your community, whatever that looks like for you, so that you are not alone in an event.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Powerful.
Thank you. Yeah, you both are
powerful
women.
Women in the community. We love it.
Yeah.
So is this like a 9-to-5 or you get to pick your own hours or?
She just rolled her eyes, everybody.
Yes. So for me, the beauty of it is that I do, when there's not a disaster, I do have a lot more autonomy, but I travel a ton. And so I'm on the road quite a bit. When I'm in town, I do have there's a Red Cross office in Santa Rosa by the airport. And I have the great pleasure of working out of that office and being connected to the volunteers and the staff that work there. I do work from home sometimes, but I'm on the road a lot.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, to get to the disaster.
Whether it's a disaster or the ongoing support of Red Cross chapters and volunteers throughout the area that I support, yeah.
I think in year 5 of our relationship, we figured out that she was gone for two-thirds of the year.
262 days, I think, that one year. Yeah, that was a good one.
That's a lot.
A lot of disasters.
And you guys got through it. You made it.
That's how we got through it.
I told you, don't make me laugh like that. That was a cool one. Oh, we'll talk more about that later.
All right.
Okay, so should we move on to, we always love to have your coming out stories and then how you met. So sure. Let's go with maybe how you met. Let's start there.
Okay, well, we met, I guess, 2 years before we got together. So about 12 years ago through a mutual friend. Who is still a best friend of us and is an integral part of our lives now. And we first met at a wedding. And I'll let you take it from there.
So this mutual friend of ours had told us about each other before. And she always said, oh, you guys have the same hearts. You're really, really different, but you have the same heart. And that's a beautiful story, and we really want to believe that. But now we know that we were really the only two lesbians that she knew at the time. Her community's grown since then, but we'll go with the same heart thing. So we actually met at her wedding. I had, in fact, just come back from a deployment with the Army. I was gone for almost a year. And I had come home, and this friend that we're speaking of actually lived in my house and with her fiance husband, and took care of my dog and my house for the year that I was gone. So Bethany had actually been to my house for the wedding shower and with the person that she was dating at the time. So she had been to my house, met my dog, kind of all these people knew that a lot of stuff about me at this wedding because they'd all been at my house. So we went to the wedding, and Beth was there with somebody else who was a little intimidating. So we didn't, and a little overbearing. So there was not a lot of interaction between the two of us at the time. But she was very sweet. And as you have seen, she has the most infectious smile. Mm-hmm. So I liked her immediately, but it was not, we didn't really get to interact, the first time that we met. So it wasn't actually until almost a year later. Oh, she's smiling like she's got a good story. I don't know where it's going.
Anne was calling me. And, and we met up again maybe a year later at the same friend's birthday party. And I was eagerly anticipating her arrival. And before she arrived, I met another woman who said that she was dating Anne.
Oh, my gosh.
We weren't really dating. We were hanging out. We weren't really dating, though.
How did you handle that, Bethany?
I was just a great listener. Oh. And just when I saw Anne arrive, we just carried on, you know, the conversation. And it was fine because there was no expectation, I don't think, for either of us. It was just really great to have an opportunity to get to know each other, especially after we've heard so much about each other through our friend.
Yeah. So we were both in good spaces kind of when we first met, and really not trying to make anything, you know, happen. And so then Beth moved to Oakland, and Beth had been living in Santa Cruz, and I was in Oakland, and she moved to Oakland, and then we lived very near each other. So
why'd you move to Oakland?
A job opportunity. Uh-huh. I had previously lived in the East Bay, mm-hmm. and I'm very nomadic by nature, and I moved back to the East Bay for a job opportunity, and I ended up living probably a half a mile away from Anne, and I didn't know that. So it made it very convenient for us to get to know each other.
She knew where I lived. Don't let her fool you. No. Yeah. So she lived really close. And at that time, my house was kind of a gathering place for a lot of friends. And so it's ironically, my straight friends really loved watching The L Word. And in fact, one of them was dating somebody on the show. One of her friends was dating somebody on the show. So we used to have the L Word parties at my house. And so everybody came, and Beth was so cute. She would create like L Word games, like little trivia games. And her friend that was dating someone on the show had given her a whole bunch of swag from the show. And so she would do these little games and hand out prizes from the L Word.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So, how fun.
So there was lots of, it was lots of hanging out with a group of people to kind of get to know each other. So there really wasn't a lot of, we were trying to think about that today. There really wasn't any dating. I don't know.
And then?
Well, so this is funny. So when it really went down, it was Easter. So it'll be 10 years this month. We were talking on the phone, and she said, "Oh, I'm going up to see my family in Sonoma County for Easter." She said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not doing anything. My family's in Southern California. I'm just going to be hanging out." And she said, "Do you want to go with me?" And I knew the minute she said it, she regretted it. Like, she didn't really mean it. Like, she was just trying to be nice. And I said, "Sure, I'll go."
Uh-oh.
So we came up here for Easter. And we had a really nice drive home and a nice evening. Yeah. So that was it.
So when you say that story, you know, when I looked at you telling the story, would I assume then that if somebody knew the minute that she asked the question, she really regretted it, would most people say, oh, no, that's okay, I don't want to go? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I could tell it didn't, it, there was like a, I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't like, hey, you want to go? And then it was a, do you want to, oh. Okay, I don't know. It just felt like it. She didn't really mean to say it, but I'm being the smart aleck that I am. I said, oh, yeah.
That's what I figured. Yeah. Well, we are going to take a music break, and I understand that you brought a song along that, well, you're going to introduce it, and then we can, it's kind of premature because we haven't talked about what the song was for, but then we can come back and talk about that. So why don't you go ahead and introduce it?
So this is a song that we first heard when we were in Nova Scotia. It's called One Voice by the Wailing Jennies, and it talks about, if you listen to the words of the song, it really talks about expanding kind of the circle from an individual to a group, but it being one voice. And so it was our wedding song because it was about our community all coming together as one with us. But that everybody has their separate voice. But here's what it sounds like when everybody's together. So, the Wailing Jennies, One Voice.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane Sheridan, and we have Bethany and Ann in studio. That was the Wailing Jennies called One Voice, and it's gorgeous. And Ann and Bethany were just telling us that they used that song or played that song at their wedding. So we'd like to hear about this wonderful wedding, Bethany.
It was a gorgeous wedding. We decided to have a celebration. We weren't necessarily going to get married, but it became very political at the time with Prop 8. And we definitely were very active in that campaign after work, you know, in the streets of Oakland. And it became more than just the marriage itself, because that carries different connotations for each of us. And I never envisioned myself personally married, but we decided that we were going to go through and be legally married during that window of time. And the wedding itself was, we were so happy to be able to contribute to the human rights campaign, and also another organization that I can't remember the name. Do you remember?
The California, what's the one that?
There's one California-based organization.
Equality California.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Equality California, that we're working in the campaign, and all of the, in lieu of any sort of gesture of a gift, we asked people to contribute towards those campaigns. And we got married. It was very nature-based in Point Reyes, and it was a beautiful celebration and day that our community surrounded us. And in retrospect, we were very grateful that we had that opportunity to be together and have our community witness and our family and friends be there to support us, because I think it validated our relationship differently within our community and for each other. I don't know if you want to say anything else about that.
No, well, it was just interesting because, as she was saying, we were planning a celebration, you know, and so so we started like the year before, and people would say, oh, you know, what's happening with you and Bethany? Oh, my partner and I are planning a celebration. And it just, I don't know, it sounded kind of cheesy to me. And then when that window opened up and we thought, it's happening, it's going to happen when we've planned this thing, I have to say, it felt very different to me and very freeing to say, I'm getting married, right? Stranger on the street, you know, whatever, someone says, oh, what about you? Or, you know, I say, oh, yeah, I'm getting married in September. End of story. Not, are you marrying a woman? Are you marrying a man? And it felt very, very different for me. It was very freeing. I had always envisioned kind of getting married. I didn't know what it looked like, but I had envisioned doing that with somebody. And don't let her fool you, she proposed to me.
she proposed to you?
She proposed to me.
Oh, we got
to
hear this one.
so it was really nice. And one really funny thing, that I love this story. When we went to get our marriage license, we were sitting and filling out some paperwork, and Beth had stepped away for a minute, and a couple came in, and they were in their probably late 50s, early 60s maybe, and they made a beeline to me. And they said, are you getting married? I said, we are getting married. And they said, we waited until you could.
Oh, you just gave me a chill. Yeah. That is beautiful.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Neat. That is just beautiful. Yeah.
Bethany, you going to share that story that?
sure. And one of the things that Anna and I have in common is our passion for world travel. And we've been really fortunate to do a lot of traveling together. I think our first trip was to El Salvador, which was amazing. But and for, I won't mention the birthday, but birthday celebration, we went back to Ireland. And Anne is actually has Irish citizenship. Mm-hmm. And we were in a very remote area that was just super beautiful along the rugged coastline, and I have a Heart Rock collection, and I couldn't find the ring that resonated with me, and I just had been mulling it over the entire trip because I knew that I wanted to propose to her during the trip, but I didn't have that symbol in front of me. But I said to myself when we were going on this hike, I said, okay, if I see a giant heart rock, I'm going to propose to her. And all of the stones along this coastline were a purple hue. And I said, okay, that purple heart rock. And the next step that I took, there was a giant, probably 5-pound purple heart rock right there.
Wow.
And so...
Oh, it came back with us.
You can tell the rest.
So it was cute because she had a little bit of a cold. And so she was kind of, and she's a hiker, right? So she was kind of, her breath was a little, her heart was beating, I guess, and she's breathing a little funny. And I grabbed her hand. Her hand was sweating. I was like, wow, you're really sick. Are you okay? And so she's like, no, I'm fine. Wiping her brow. Hugging along. And then she finds this heart rock. She's like, wow, look at this thing. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why don't you set it over here and we'll get it on the way back? No, I think I'll take it with me. And I was like, what is she doing? She's sick and carrying this 5-pound rock. Like, what is wrong with her? And so we got to this one really beautiful part. She's stubborn like that. So I was like, okay, that's how she is. So she's carrying this rock while she's sweating. And, you know, and we get to this really beautiful spot. And she actually got down on one knee and she's hoisting this thing. So it was super cute.
So
yeah.
Then what? She's hoisting
she's
it.
She's hoisting
and
it.
She's on
and
one
then
knee. And
she's
then...
on one knee and she said some really beautiful things and asked me to marry her. And of
oh
course,
my gosh.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
It was really special.
That sounds like it could be in a movie or something.
So then we had to leave like 5 pairs of shoes and a bunch of clothes behind so we could take the 5-pound hard rock.
Y'all still have the rock?
Oh, absolutely. It's prominently amongst the collection.
Oh, yeah. I want to see it sometime. I really do.
Did she beat you to it? I mean, like, were you, like, disappointed in? Come on, now. No?
No, I wasn't I wasn't disappointed at all.
You didn't do it first?
It's funny because, as she said, no.
You didn't pop the question?
It was good. I was down with it. I actually said, you know, someone's going to ask me. So, but it was funny because she was so, I never want to get married. I mean, like, you know, after we had gotten together, and very much from the beginning, she made it very clear she didn't want to get married. And, you know, if she ever was with somebody for any length of time, you know, they're going to have, it's going to be like Frida Kahlo, and they're going to have separate houses with a bridge or something, right? And so, but within, and I don't know, she might deny this, but within a few months, about 3 months, she said, I'm going to marry you.
So, wow.
So, no,
that's why she asked you early on if you were coming to Sonoma County at Easter time. You remember?
Yeah, she really meant it.
She had a plan. Yeah. You had her eyes set, huh, Bethany?
And I definitely felt a deep connection with Anne initially, and for various different reasons. And she's just a solid person, and we have similar values. And we had a discussion today about our mutual values in anticipation of this show. So that's why I kind of had that intonation to my voice when I said that. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, for me, I never envisioned myself being married, but I knew that that was something that was important for Anne. Mm-hmm. And so that was definitely a commitment that I still make, you know, for both of us. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
So about values, you said a little bit about values about your work, that they're very similar as far as working with resiliency and things like that. But some things that you haven't mentioned when you talk about your values are the same. What would you say?
I think that it's interesting because our discussion revolved around individual values, what our core values are as an individual and what they are together. And I think that's really reflective of our relationship as well, because we're continuously balancing our individuality and how to support each other in our personal growth as individuals, and then also how to create that balance as a couple too. So I think that we both value honesty and loyalty and mutual respect as a foundation to our relationship. And communication is huge in that. But just going a little bit broader, I think that we both value community and diversity and looking at a global perspective as well. I'm curious. Do you have anything else to add?
She's like, I wonder what she's going to say. No, those are. I agree with all of those. I mean, I think the we are very, very different people. But to be solid in being honest, that's kind of my big one. But honesty and trustworthiness and just that feeling of safety and knowing that this person's got your back. You know, I mean, we might quip at each other once in a while, but you know that you're never going out there alone, and it's a powerful thing to have, you know, that. And I feel like we do have that beyond us as well, because we both value that to a point that it's in every one of our relationships. But to always have that in a partner is super important.
Beautifully said.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. Yep. It's just really nice just sitting here looking at the both of you, because I can feel the love.
Thanks.
It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
And so your family, and speaking of community, your family, they're very supportive of you, and no one has turned away or...
I think it's positive. Been a number of years because I came out in my early 20s, and there was a period of time, an adjustment time, where people felt like it was a phase, or some family members chose not to accept it, and then we just don't talk about it, or the level of engagement has decreased over time. But I think for me, it was a lot of friends that I had that I needed to build new relationships, and the friends that didn't choose to continue to support me because of how I identified with my partner. So I feel fortunate that I haven't had a complete disconnect from my family. I think in general, people have been very supportive of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, for me, it's they've been very supportive. I think in the beginning, I think my mom struggled with it a bit, not only because she felt like it was something that was going to be hard for me in life, right? Another barrier, something that would make my life more challenging. But it was kind of funny when I had been dating my first girlfriend for a number of years, and everybody kind of knew, and I was kind of stereotypical in that I was the athlete growing up, and you know, kind of fit some of those stereotypes, right? I didn't necessarily look the part all the time. I had really long hair, right? So in the Army, I had long hair, and nobody thought I was gay. So it's all you need, just grow your hair out, right? But when I was home one time, I was told my mom said to me, "You think you're in love with your ex?" And I said, "No, I don't. I don't think I am. I am, you know." And we'd been together for a few years at the time. She said, "Well, don't tell your father." Mm. And so, long story short, though, she didn't. I said, "Okay, well, I won't tell my dad." And my dad and I are very, very close, and we're very close. And I'm the youngest and the only girl. And a few weeks later, I get a phone call, and it's both my parents on the phone. And my mom says, "Your father and I have some questions." I said, "Okay." And so mom starts firing these questions at me, and she's getting all kind of wound up. And my dad said, "Joan, hang up the phone."
Oh.
So my mom hangs up the phone, and my father says, "You're my most well-adjusted child. You've always made good decisions. If this is what you decide is the right thing for you and your life, I totally support you. And next time I come up, we'll go check out chicks." And so,
wow.
So then I heard him yell, and my mom get back on the phone, and that was that. Yeah. And everybody's been fine, and her family has accepted me with complete open arms. I mean, I definitely, you know, have family here. So,
yeah. Lovely story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. What about, do you all have sibs? What about sibs? Bethany, what about?
Yeah, I have a brother who lives in Colorado and a sister who lives locally.
Uh-huh. Mm. And they're good?
They're great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Anne, I know your family's in Southern California.
Yeah, so I have two older brothers. One is very much a Fox News Republican Christian who thinks I should have equal but separate rights.
So he calls me her little friend.
Yeah, his
Wow.
Yeah. So that one is but you know, he's never been cruel outward, you know, other he came to the wedding. His kids are, you know, in my life and very close to kids, so it's not like that. But my oldest brother said, did I push the sports too hard? Mm. Everybody else is fine.
So when did you come out, really? Because I know you talked about being in the military, and so I'm just curious about your coming out. And are you out?
Well, now I'm for sure out. I was kind of a quarter out and then half out. And then the military experience was interesting because there was certainly a time where, you know, in the early 90s, and mid 90s, that there was, you know, kind of the witch hunts going on. And I, because I had long hair, people didn't think I was gay in the Army. They would come to me and say, hey, you know, the criminal investigation guys would come into my office and say, hey, what do you know about this person or this person and this person? And I'd say, oh no, there's no way that, you know. So it was interesting. So definitely there was a long period of time where, that was my secret life. And then, when I got off active duty and was in the reserves, it was kind of half and half because a lot of people knew that I was gay. I really didn't hide it so much, but I didn't really put it out there. But I would run into a number of my soldiers out in the gay clubs. So so people knew, but it was, you know, I couldn't have a picture on my desk or, you know, I couldn't really, it just wasn't the same as everybody else. So definitely when I got out of the Army, it was a very different experience. Mm-hmm.
But even still, after we got married, you were concerned about retirement benefits and because it still wasn't legal until recently.
Right. So federally it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if I was giving up, you know, 20 years of benefits.
Really?
And then I finally just said, well, then if they try to take them away, then I'll be the first one to fight it. So.
Wow. So when did you know? How long ago?
Oh, my God.
In fifth grade?
No. Sure. You know, I honestly didn't. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. I was, it was my last year of college. And even then I didn't have this experience growing up thinking I felt different. Mm-hmm. I dated men. I had great relationships with men. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. You know, I've been in many heated discussions with gay friends who, you know, I say, well, maybe it is a choice or maybe, and they don't, you don't want to hear that part, you know? So I don't try to analyze it anymore. I'm super happy with who I'm with. I'm thankful for all of the relationships I've had. But I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or if I did, it was super repressed. But Catholic school might do that to you. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Bethany, you have a coming out story?
I do. I came out in my early 20s, and I don't think that I knew that I was going to be a lover of women. I identify as a lesbian, but I am kind of fluid when I say that too. And I think for me, it was a set of circumstances that led me to women and being in a relationship with women. And I started in a phase of my life when I went to Berkeley, and I was very much open to trying a lot of different things. And actually, I chose that school because of the diversity. Mm-hmm. And it was before affirmative action was revoked, so it was more diverse than it currently is now. And I was dating a man at the time who was bisexual, and Anne is actually my first committed monogamous relationship. And so I think for me in that period of my life, it was definitely a time of exploration. And I ended up with a degree from Cal in queer studies. I was one of the first people with that degree. And so I definitely, and when I was coming out, for me, again, it was very political, and I was sharing it with a lot of people because at that time I was kind of more in your face and feeling like coming out was a responsibility that I needed to carry to open doors for more people. And so, and that kind of dovetails into what I was saying before. Some people were open to receiving me, and other people were not. But definitely there, Women's Music Festival in Michigan, and, you know, I was definitely a part of the culture. Mm-hmm. And I was sad to hear that the Lexington in San Francisco is closing its doors soon. So, and then they used to have the Bearded Lady. I was living in San Francisco in the Mission District at the time, and in Berkeley, and so it was definitely a part of the culture. And I still feel like I am a part of the culture, but it's definitely changed over time.
Well,
Wow.
We're coming up to the end of the show.
So I just wanted to just check in around children.
Oh.
Ha ha, you've been married for 10 years. I didn't know if that's in the cards or what.
Well, we definitely, like, I hope a theme throughout this talk has been our value in community and social justice. And we are fortunate to live in a very well-resourced community here in Sonoma County with a lot of different resources, but a lot of disparity between the people who have a lot and the people who do not. And there's no reason why we should not have all of the people in need of a home with a house and a loving family. And so we are on an adventure to open our home up to foster youth. And we are in the process right now. I don't know if you want to share anything, Maureen.
Yeah, we love kids, and we have lots of kids in our life, lots of nieces and nephews, lots of friends with kids. We made a very conscious decision to not have children together, that for lots of reasons. For me, I was just at I kind of put an age limit on it and had passed that when we were together and getting married. And but we want to open our homes to, or open our home to someone who really needs that.
That's beautiful.
I love you both.
Thanks. Your hearts
are so big. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
So like I was saying, we are at the end of the show, and it's too bad because we could have a whole another hour on foster care, because
that would be incredible.
People know that, you know, Di and I are foster parents also. Well, what we like to do is ask our guests for some words of wisdom at the end of the show in how you navigate the world, and what do you want people to know, pretty much. So you each have a minute or a minute and a half to spread your
knowledge,
thoughts.
Your wisdom.
Yeah.
Mine is pretty quick, especially after today, because we went to a memorial of a loved one. And so it was definitely a reminder that each of us should live our life to our fullest potential, and that we all have the capacity to influence change. And we just need to share our gifts with each other.
It's beautiful.
Thank you, Bethany.
Thank you.
Nice.
Sorry about your friend.
Thank you.
Thanks. Too young for sure. You know, it comes to mind, and it seems so passe, and but the whole finding what you love and doing what you love. So many people say to me all the time, I can't believe that, you know, the work that I do. You have the greatest job and you love to do it. And I like to think that that I had something to do with that, the making that happen in my life. I feel so grateful for the beautiful place that I live now. You know, there's a lot of things I miss about Oakland, but so you can create that perfect life for yourself, or that great life for yourself. And for me, though, the biggest thing is finding the balance. And to be gentle with yourself, and to not get crazy and freaked out and stressed out over the first world problems and the stuff that just doesn't matter, you know? and to enjoy the people in your life while you can, and make the most of that. So
beautiful. Okay, so 30 seconds. A relationship, some relationship advice based on what you know of relationships and your own relationship. What can you offer?
Maybe some advice we didn't take.
Oh, that sounds good.
I would just say be conscientious of what it is that you are putting out there into the relationship, and being introspective and take ownership of that, and then be able to navigate and understand that your partner is coming to the relationship with their best self, and you need to match that as well.
Mm. That was a good one. So that end, I think keeping yourself whole, separate from the relationship too. It's so easy to kind of meld worlds. And next thing you know, you're not hanging out with your friends as much, or you're not doing the things that you really want to do, because you do want to spend time with this person, but creating separate space, because those are the things that attracted you to each other, was mm-hmm. the life that each other was leading, and those fascinating things. So, yeah.
Mm, thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're so welcome. Wow. So we want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Mm-hmm. And remember, just like Bethany and Anne, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and be seen and embraced and as vibrant, proud, and courageous. And we'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.
Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio. And if you haven't yet downloaded the new KRCB mobile app for your iPhone, iPad, tablet, or Android device, it's available right now free of charge on the Apple and Android App Store. You can listen to your favorite KRCB shows like Outbeat from anywhere in the world with internet access. You're listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa, the new 91, with news, new music, and more. This is KRCB. Always on your dial at 91.1 and 90.9 FM, live at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.
Change, yeah. So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see your place.